Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series about Kiki, the globe-trotting calico kitty exploring the world's diverse people, places, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families love the books and have been asking for help planning their own adventures. So here we are. Adventure awaits. In this episode, Travel Mom Tamara joins us to share all the details of her family's Dublin, Ireland adventure. Welcome to the podcast, Tamara.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamara Lane. I'm a content creator and storyteller. I have worked in journalism for over 12 years, and now I'm the chief marketing officer for a sustainable fashion brand called Aylin, where we create better basics. They're better for the environment, and they're a better fit.
Really cool. I had the pleasure of connecting with Tamara at a networking event. And as you can hear, she has an amazing background, like super cool, so varied. Obviously, we connected over marketing and travel. So just a really, really cool background. So welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have you here.
I'm so happy to be here. We love Kiki in this household.
Yay! Tamara has had some really cool trips, especially like you as a couple. I mean, she's been sharing her wanderlust pictures on Instagram, which clearly have me jealous. I mean, where were you, like Fiji or something?
Oh, yeah. So that was a small island off the coast of Bali, Indonesia, called the Gili Islands. And there are three tiny islands that you can only get to by boat. And then once you get there, there's no cars. There's these little mini horse-driven wagons that take you around if you need it. Otherwise, you just walk, you snorkel. We were living in a little hut. It was delightful. My husband and I have always loved travel. That was one of the things that we came together on. You know, we work very hard and we like to play and explore when we can. And so every chance we get, at least twice a year, we would take off and go somewhere adventurous. So the picture you're just talking about was Gili Islands in Indonesia. Before that, we went and we chased the Northern Lights in Alaska and Fairbanks.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And it really is chasing the Northern Lights, right? Like you have to find a mountaintop. We a few times would just drive our car to a mountaintop and sit there all night and watch. And then a few times we would go to a place to someone's house who would open it up and you would drink, you know, cocoa or Bailey's and coffee and stay up until 4 a.m. watching, you know, the lights just dance across the sky. It's just spectacular. But that's just something that we love and we cherish. We try to go to places that expand our knowledge of customs and of culture and of history. We went to Angkor Wat as well. Angkor Wat is in Cambodia. It's a temple / old, it was a civilization that lived in these complexes that they built, and they're just spectacular. They blow your mind. It's the same type of thing that you think of with like the Egyptian temples. Mm-hmm. It's how did they do this? And the incredible thing about Angkor Wat, you know the movie Tomb Raider? One of the areas next to Angkor Wat is where they filmed Tomb Raider. So, you know, you just have these like spectacular little pockets of history.
Wow.
That in Cambodia, they had been covered. They were covered in trees. And so they were just recently found. And that's what's like just incredible to see.
Tell us all about your recent family trip.
So we recently went to Ireland, we went to Dublin, and we went to Spain. But I want to talk about Dublin because that's where we really had a lot of fun. It's got such a great culture, vibe, and feel. And one of the things I really liked about it from a family perspective is, Europe to me is very family-friendly traveling. But Dublin is like the small town that you can go to and kind of let your kids explore more and not worry. But you're not in these packed streets.
That's a really good point, because it is. It does feel more like a bit of a village feel versus, you know, being in downtown London or something.
Exactly. It felt like we were in a small town. When you talked with everybody, everybody was friendly and nice. And they have a lot of great pedestrian streets, which I liked because up. So our daughter is very young. When we took her, she was just over a year old. So she just started walking, just started, you know, like really getting into whatever she could and wanting to run. And so these pedestrian streets to us were just invaluable because we could walk and let her run and not worry about oncoming traffic.
So how long were you all in Dublin?
So we were there. It was a shorter trip. It was 3 days, two nights, and we took advantage of every moment that we had. As I was remembering this trip, I was just like, oh my gosh, we packed in so much. But when we got there early in the morning. I think our flight landed at like 6 a.m. We checked in, we took a quick nap, and then we went right to the Guinness factory.
When in Dublin, that's what
when
you do.
When in Dublin, exactly. And you think of a beer factory and you don't think family friendly. And it was probably one of the more family friendly places in Dublin. So like you go in there, they've got the step dancers, the cloggers, put on a show like every 30 minutes. Besides just doing like the tour, which I would say is actually pretty generic. It was not my favorite part of the Guinness factory. They have probably seven levels of different activities.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can learn how to pour the perfect Guinness. There was like different tasting rooms. There was restaurants. And then there was just things that you could explore and see. So as far as we were concerned, there was stuff for everyone. We got to have a drink. Adeline got to watch a show, sing and dance.
That's so fun.
Play games.
Yeah.
And then there's at the top, there's this room where you can see the whole city. So she got to look out. It was a little bit rainy. We took advantage of like 4 hours there. You wouldn't think that it's got all these activities to do, but you know, we ate, we did some of the things that they have there, and then we left for the afternoon. Again, we spent our morning there, and it was the perfect way to start a vacation, especially after, you know, flying can be a little bit stressful with a little one. We were like, let's kick this off with the Guinness.
Yeah, how'd she do?
We've traveled with her on some very long flights. Her first trip was from New York to Hawaii, which was 15 hours. And she was a champ. So like we've started to figure out the best ways to travel and fly with her. I'd say right now at 1 to 2, she's been way more complicated because she just wants to run up and down the aisles. Mm-hmm. When we get to the tricks part, I'll tell you some of my tricks with that.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay, so tell us more about what you did.
All right. Some of my favorites. So we started with the Guinness Factory. Then, of course, you have to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's the sister cathedral to New York's big St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's gorgeous. It's got a park there. We let Adeline play in the park. These cathedrals in Europe are awe-inspiring. So, you know, you see it, you spend some time. But then we obviously had to quickly get moving because we only had 3 days. So we made our way to Dublin Castle. And Dublin Castle is where the Parliament used to work out of its government buildings. It's got that like really cool medieval feel to it. But to get there, we took the river Liffey. I think I'm saying that right. River Liffey. But it's a cool river that goes through the middle of Dublin. And over the river, there are all these beautiful bridges. So I don't think Adeline appreciated it as much as we did, but it was like this great stroll. She fell asleep in the stroller. So it was after running around, it was that perfect mid-afternoon. She takes a nap. We look at these beautiful bridges, made it to Dublin Castle. And then right next to Dublin Castle, there's this war memorial garden. We took the time to take a snack there. So you've got all these war memorials and then inside it's like very peaceful. And they've got all these flowers in there and people are reading and just like enjoying the park in the middle of Dublin. It's beautiful, especially because, you know, like Adeline's too young for museums to really understand them. So it's like, how do we travel and let her have these bursts of energy and then mom and dad can have some food and beer?
Exactly.
One of the things I like about Europe and Dublin is just you can walk around and see history. You don't necessarily have to go into a museum. You can get out your iPhone, you can read a little about what you're seeing, like the war memorial, and then you can kind of keep scooting along.
So true. Perfect.
And actually, that brings me to another point. Dublin is perfect for strolling and eating and like having a drink here and there. And that's one of the things that we like. We stroll, we see the war memorial, then we grab an appetizer somewhere, and then we stroll and we grab some food from one of the local bakeries and we go to the park and we eat it. Our vacations are usually all about like, how do we stroll, eat, drink, see sights? And Dublin is kind of meant for that. one of the streets I wanted to talk about, which is a little bit more adult oriented. We walked down it and enjoyed the sights of it, is the Trinity Bar region. If you do have a babysitter and you can go back out for the evening, that's definitely where I would hit. We found it to be a little bit loud, but it's historic and we wanted to see it. Trinity Bar, which is the historic bar there, we popped into. It was too loud for Adeline at that age, but it looked very cool. So if you get the chance, I would definitely recommend going there. Before I leave the city, because there was one little spot that we went to that was outside of the city, I'll just mention my other two spots, which was the Chocolate Warehouse is there, where you get to learn about the history of chocolate and also make chocolate.
Yum. Yeah. That's fun.
Uh-huh. Everybody in the family likes that. And then there's, just like New York has Central Park, Dublin has St. Stephen's Green. Every day that we were there, we would walk through it and just enjoy it and just enjoy the peaceful oasis that it provides to the city, which is beautiful. One of the pedestrian walkways that we loved is Grafen Street. So Grafen Street, it was really wide. There were shops on either side and a couple of good pubs. So those are my highlights in the city. But my favorite spot, and the reason why I left it for the end, I'm all about castles. I want to stay in a castle. I didn't get to stay in a castle this trip, which darn. I was really bummed about. So
we did Christmas in a castle one year in Germany.
Oof. Oh, see, that's so you're cool. Making me jealous.
Anyway, sorry.
Like, that's my next thing. And I want to, that's what we missed out on. Next time we're staying in a castle. But we jumped on the public transportation and we went to the Malahide Castle and Gardens. And I cannot recommend this place more. It was beautiful. So the castle itself is spectacular. You can get a tour of it and they give you all the history of the family that lived there and some of the warring family, you know, feuds that were going on in like the 12th and 13th century. It's stunning inside, but outside is even better. And so for kids, it's like a wonderland. They've got a butterfly garden where you can go in and there's butterflies flying all around you. Yeah. Adeline was absolutely amazed by this. I mean, I could barely pull her out of it. It was beautiful. And then they have this botanical garden there that you just get to stroll around and it's perfectly manicured. An afternoon that's just delightful. The local town also has a couple of cute little streets and restaurants. And we went and got shepherd's pie at one of the restaurants. That took most of like an entire day, but it was beautiful. And I would say just, I highly recommend it.
Oh, that's so great. So that was your favorite part?
That was my favorite part. I loved Dublin and the history and walking around, but this castle and the history that surrounded it, just, it was so fun and magical and, you know, just kind of experiencing history.
Very fairy tale-like.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. It felt like being in a fairy tale. This little village that was attached to the castle, historically, that's how these castles operated. The castle was the center and then everybody worked at the castle and the villages popped up around it and it still has that feel like it's the 1800s. And you're in Pride and Prejudice, except for in Ireland.
Right. Would you guys go back, do you think, to Ireland?
Absolutely.
Okay. Other places in the country that you'd want to see? Or,
you know, off the top of my head, there was a few things that we missed. There's some waterfalls outside of the city. The castle really made me wish that we had more time in the country.
Right.
And I think if we go back to Ireland, what we would do is do that experience of staying somewhere outside of a city, in a castle, maybe.
That sounds so great. So tell me a little bit about, it sounds like you've got some good tips and advice for other travel moms and families.
Yeah, I mean, it's all like trial and error, right? When you're a mom and you're going somewhere and it's like everything is age specific. So my key tips are going to be for traveling with babies and with toddlers right now, because I really feel like there's some things that I've learned that I learned late and I wish I would have known earlier. So living in the city, I had this gigantic stroller that was like industrial, like a Cadillac. And when we first started traveling, we traveled with that stroller and it was probably the biggest mistake of my life because it's amazing how stressed out you get just trying to like pack these strollers and these safety devices that you need for your kids on the other end of the trip, right? the first thing I would do if I was traveling is buy a pocket stroller or one of these new strollers that folds up. And if you've ever seen a pocket stroller, it looks like a regular stroller, and then you push it down and it folds up to about the size of like a book. And it fits under your seat or up in the compartment.
That's amazing.
So you don't even have to check it. It is amazing. And it's not terribly expensive. It's like $200.
Yeah.
And I would say if you're traveling, this reduces so much stress, because like literally you just, the plane lands, you pull it out, you put your child in it, and you just walk off the plane. It fits down the aisle. Get it. We got a travel car seat because it was just too much stress thinking on the other end of places like, okay, how are we going to get an Uber that has a car seat? Like how do you get people back and forth? So the travel car seat, very light, and you strap it to the back of your carry-on. We love it, and it weighs like 5 pounds, but it's, you know, highly rated. Then we just have this strap that you put around your suitcase and you tie it on and you're good to go.
That's fantastic. But
then once you get there and you're in the hotel, you've got everything you need. It's great. I don't travel without toys. Adeline has her own backpack, and I stuff it full of toys and books. And it's essential for on the plane. We get bulkhead seating when we go on the plane, and that gives Adeline enough room to be in front of us. And,
perfect.
You know, you pay up a little bit for it, but like as far as anything over 4 hours, you've got her pinned in to the bulkhead area, and she can sit on the ground and she can play. There's just no other way. Otherwise, your kid's going to be screaming. When you take off and land, you need to feed babies. And this might sound like something that's obvious, but I can't tell you how many times I see people not feeding the babies. And then what happens is their ears don't pop. And you've got a screaming baby. Have those pre-made bottles of formula and just give your baby that on takeoff and landing. And we still do it with Adeline at almost 2. We make sure that she's drinking a bottle or something, like even a pacifier, even though we try not to use pacifiers anymore. But that way she needs to suck on something. Another tip of mine is airport lounges. I signed up for a Chase Sapphire and an Amex Platinum card. And with those comes 2 different lounge choices for you. So there's the Priority Pass, and then there's the Centurion Lounge. That way you cover almost all
the
of your airports.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's probably the most stressful part of traveling, right?
Is always, the airport. Always. Yes.
So maybe this is why all my tips are about that. You know, you finally get to an airport and you've got everything checked in, and you're tired, it's early, or it's too late, and you get to the lounge and you can spread out your stuff and sit and relax. And again, that's where like you actually have space where you feel like it's a little bit cleaner to let your child play. When Adeline was under 1 and still rolling around, you throw out some blankets and you're able to relax there. We learned on the longer flights, if you get the middle bulkhead seat, and they have to be in the middle, you can get a bassinet. So you ask for a bassinet.
Yeah, it goes right on the wall.
Exactly. And when Adeline went to Hawaii, she spent the whole time in there. And I bought this travel mobile, what is it called?
Yeah.
Yeah, the mobile thing. I bought a travel one that you can clip on to things. And she sat in there with that and played. I mean, she was only like 4 months old at the time. And it was perfect. And I felt, you know, really bad because there were some other babies on that flight. And the parents had to hold them the whole time. I was like, I feel really bad, but we thought about this. And our flight was not as stressful because we had that. But you have to request it ahead of time. And you also need to call the night before and make sure that they have it on the flight. Do your due diligence on that and call, because one time they forgot to put it on. So just like make sure you're telling the airlines and you're keeping in contact with them over that, because it really is worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
I plan for the whole day once we get on the ground, and I just make sure that I have all the snacks and water, and we try not to go back to the hotel. And if she's crying, we stroll her around. It's just we try and make sure that we don't give up on some of the things we want to do as like parents and as human beings, so that we can travel and we can stay fulfilled. It's just, I feel like it's necessary to make sure that you do parents' things as well, and the kids come along and they deal.
Yes.
The world is meant for exploring and for meeting new people, and just, you know, ensuring that you plan ahead some things, then you're good to go. And so, again, a cocktail at the end of the night is always welcome.
Absolutely. So tell me why you started traveling with Adeline early and why you will keep traveling with her?
I still look at travel as something that is important for growth and for education. And that's why we didn't want to stop traveling. We pick our locations a little differently now, but I don't want to stop. And I think what you said earlier about the younger you do it, the more common it is. I mean, I grew up traveling around the U.S. in a motorhome. We would drive for 10 hours to a new location and then explore a national park. So that's kind of in my DNA, is to always be exploring someplace new. The way we do it may be different, so we may be jumping on a plane. There's no better education than seeing something firsthand.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's something about traveling together that makes you closer. And I mean, I don't think that there's any way to make you closer as a family than being like, you know, in your house, but there's something fun and you learn new things about people. You learn what people like. As Adeline explores things, she's more excited. So it's just, it's a unique experience that you can't get any other way unless you just get out and go.
I love it. So tell me about, I guess, what's that trip you want to take as soon as we can?
So we are looking at going somewhere where we can drive in a day so that we're not staying in a hotel at the moment. And we're looking at either going to a beach in like South Carolina and renting an Airbnb and staying there, or going to the middle of America to like Salt Lake City and exploring some of the beautiful state parks out there, like Bryce Canyon. So kind of two different directions, but hopefully, you know, as things get safer, we'll be able to do something like that. On our dreaming list right now of like where we want to go, but I'm not actively planning it, is Athens. So we want to go to Greece. So
yay! You've already had, Adeline already knows a little bit about it.
Exactly. That'll be exciting.
I love it. Tamara has her Kiki's Big Adventures in Athens, Greece book right behind her. I'm looking at that right now. So,
like, I've never been there, so that's, I want to go.
You are going to love it. It's so beautiful. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing so many great details on Dublin and then also just some amazing tips.
Thank you so much for having me. We love Kiki.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thank you, Tamara, for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. There's an overview of the episode in the show notes. Head over to the podcast section of the Kiki's Big Adventures website for more specific details, places, and lots more travel planning tips. Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Look forward to traveling together on the next episode. Adventure awaits!